Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Somebody said faith is the daring of the soul to go further than it can see. Faith is the daring of the soul, my mind, will, and emotions to go further than it can see. Psalm 62, 5 through 8 are verses that have also encouraged me. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. In Psalm 91, we have a passage that gives us much instruction for today, for what we're facing as we continue to deal with the threat of COVID-19. I want you to turn there with me this morning. In Psalm 91, Brother Von Bergen, Wednesday night, read this in prayer to God, and it was another turning point for me. I cannot tell you how much the Wednesday night prayer meeting did to encourage me to hear simple faith, not foolishly, not mindlessly, but conscientiously, knowing that in spite of all that takes place, we can trust God. And with all that's going on, we cannot guarantee our personal health just with simple hygiene. We need a spiritual dimension in our lives right now. And so I want you to look at the words of Scripture this morning in Psalm 91. I rarely would recommend you do this, but even if you have your Bible, you might instead want to close your eyes, shut out the anxiety, the pressure, the concern that is pressing upon you. And we have a number that are joining us by live stream, and I appreciate them being a part of our service as well. But maybe if you don't have Scripture with you, you just close your eyes and listen to the words. I'm going to read the psalm in its entirety, and then we are going to focus on it for a while this morning. Our service today will close with an invitation of public prayer, as we did last week, except at a different time. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, that is Jehovah, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Get the picture of this, folks. There are people around you that will fall, but God says you can still stand. That is, what are you saying? Though others are affected, it's possible that you will be protected. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me. God now takes up the narrative and speaks himself instead of the psalmist. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Bow your heads in genuine desire to seek God's instruction this morning. Father, we need you. We desire to hear from you. We desire to minister to those that have joined us of our membership as well as the community at this time. We're asking God that you would not give us a foolish abandonment to the common sense principles that have been shared today, but rather a confident faith in God who must be our trust. Lord, help us to find the balance in these times of faith and proper caution. I am asking you, Heavenly Father, that you would protect our membership, that you would protect your children. Based upon this psalm and what I've read, I'm asking, Heavenly Father, that you would reach down and put your sheltering wings over us and your arms around us. God, would you keep us safe? Would you help us to trust you? Would you heal our land? And would you bring us back to you? God, please, we need you. And we ask that by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Mel Trotter became known as a famous rescue mission worker. He was raised the son of a bartender who drank as much as he served. Mel Trotter followed his father's footsteps, losing job after job because of his addiction to drinking and gambling. Each time he lost a job, he promised to reform and start doing better, but he always failed. After another drinking spree, he came home to find that his baby had died. Vowing to never drink again, Trotter soon sold his own shoes to get money for another drink. Totally defeated by the grip of sin in his life, Trotter intended to drown himself in Lake Michigan in January. Passing by the Pacific Garden Mission, when he went inside, he was introduced to hope that could be his in Christ. He was gloriously saved. For the next 40 years, Trotter did everything he could to help those like himself who had fallen prey to the deceptively alluring temptations of sin. He loved to say when he was asked, "How do you know for sure you're saved?" He said, "I was there." January 31st, I think it was. I don't remember the year. He said, "I was there." Satan's advertising of sin is never honest. He paints himself beautiful. He paints beautiful pictures of immediate pleasure, ignoring the real consequences that sin brings. Satan's focus is always on the beginning rather than the ending. But no matter how alluring sin appears, it only cloaks itself from the awful reality that sin always ends with destruction. As James 1:15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This sin-cursed earth has some very real and personal consequences in our lives. The psalm that we have just read speaks of consequences of the sin-cursed earth in a different way. There are the real and the personal struggles that we face, the battles that we have with our flesh on a regular basis. But in Psalm 91, we see, first of all, the ongoing manifestations of sin's consequences. And I draw your attention to verses 3 through 6. Here we read, "I will say of the Lord," rather verse 3, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." As we read those verses, there is a sense of a general and very real curse upon this earth. And it brings to us consequences that we cannot stop, and many times do not have the ability in and of ourselves to deal with. Verse 3 speaks of the snare of the fowler. That is poetry for the traps deliberately set. for God's people. And the noisome pestilence, the engulfing plagues that are around us. Verse 5 speaks of the terror by night, that is the dreaded objects that we know are there but we cannot see. And the arrow that flies by day, objects we see coming that we know are sent to deliberately harm us. Verse 6 speaks of the pestilence, the plague that goes about in darkness. President Trump has repeatedly spoken of dealing with something that is very dangerous and cannot be seen. Verse 6 goes on to say, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Both those things in the darkness and those things that we can clearly see strike terror in our hearts, knowing that we are but flesh and vulnerable. When I read about the destruction that wasteth at noonday, the words literally imply destruction that comes in the joy of the daytime. And I could not help think of the thriving economy we were enjoying being brought to a halt. There are things that come upon us at night, things that we may not expect, things that we may not be able to see coming, but there are other things that come in the midst of our joy, in the midst of our excitement, in the midst of the fullness of the day that we have. Today we sit here because we believe it's important. But I'm saying to you, folks, things happen. In the midst of our joy, in the midst of our prosperity, in the midst of our sufficiency, things happen. Sin has general consequences as described in this psalm. And sin also has very personal consequences, as Mel Trotter experienced and many of you have as well. But in every onslaught, we are personally responsible to trust God and live like we know He is greater than the consequences that sin has brought to this sin-cursed earth. He is greater. And we've got to get a hold of that. It needs to be personal. The timing of this current crisis is at least sobering in reminding us to not put our confidence in men, not put our confidence in our finances, not put our confidence in the prosperity that we've enjoyed, but put our confidence in the living God. And so we come secondly to the source of hope in the midst of sin's onslaughts. In verses 1 and 2, the psalm begins with that source of hope. And that source of hope is always and must always be God. God is described in verse 1, notice it, as the Most High. Words mean something. God writes words with purpose. He is the Most Exalted One. Let anything or anyone claim to be a God, and he says, I am higher than that which claims to be God. I am the Most High. There is no contest, folks. Nothing else comes close. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, notice it, under the shadow of the Almighty. Sometimes we see Almighty and we see it as one word and we say, yeah, well, that means God's really great. No, He is mighty completely. He is totally omnipotent. He is the most powerful. And we cannot forget that He then is our best defense. The source of hope in the midst of the onslaught. In verse 2, we're reminded to put our focus on Jehovah and make it personal, who is my God. Notice verses 9 and 10. Can't ignore what is being said, because thou hast made the Lord, that is Jehovah, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. The source of hope must first direct our attention to God, but also direct our attention toward us. We have to believe what God says. And I know, because there's so many things that maybe are pressing upon my mind and upon yours, you're going to have a hard time connecting this point of the message, but it's important. We can go around and say, our God is the Most High. Our God is almighty. Our God can do anything. But if we do not have a personal faith that rests in that Almighty, Most High God, we have nothing. You see, the source of our confidence in the midst of sin's onslaughts is not simply that we have a God that's almighty, that we have a God that's most high, but we have a God that we can personally trust. And we trust him to take care of us. The source of that hope is in God. But the responsibility is to respond to that God. Verse 1 requires a steadfast commitment. We must dwell. And to me, this is really important. We must dwell. We've got to sit down. We've got to remain. We've got to stay. We've got to live there. And folks, when we are on the news all the time, and I have not listened to the news, admittedly, I have tried to be informed, but I cannot handle listening to the news and listening to the news and listening to the spin of the news and listening to the news and listening to the news, because it is not long, and my eyes get off God, and I believe as your pastor, I've got to have my eyes on God right now. So I'm just challenging you. You've got to stay there. You've got to stay where God is. You've got to have a steadfast commitment. We must dwell. We've got to sit down. We've got to remain there. We've got to be there. We've got to live there. And where is it we live? In the secret place. That was the covenants of Corrie Ten Boom. She embraced it by faith. In those Nazi prison camps with the horrendous treatment that she received. And she claims Psalm 32:7, which says basically the same thing. Thou art my hiding place. Hiding place is secret place. It's the exact same word. Corrie Ten Boom in that prison with a horrendous treatment found her confidence, her rest, her safety in her God. Thou art my hiding place, my secret place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now notice what it says, and this is pretty important. Verse 1 says, he that dwells, you that choose, you that live there, the you that dwell, the you that abide, you that live in this secret place of the Most High shall abide. It's a result. It's a consequence. It's an outworking. If we learn to rest, to live, to abide in the secret place of God, if we dwell there, we will abide. The word abide, as I understand, is much more temporary. We will spend the night under the shadow of his wings. Do you get the picture? You can't handle what's going on. You can't predict the tomorrows of America's history right now. But if we choose to live, if we choose to place ourselves in the safety of God, in his secret place, he becomes our safety. He becomes the place we flee to. It says, you will pass the night in safety. I would say what we're going through is a fair description of the night. But what's being said here is if we will choose, make the choice to dwell, then we can abide. We can put up with the night. We can get through it. Verse 2 indicates an open testimony. If I will make a steadfast commitment to dwell, then I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. If I make a choice in my heart to dwell with God, I will be able to give a testimony with my mouth that God is taking care of me. God has given me peace in the midst of the circumstances that I'm facing. He's my refuge, that shelter from the storm or danger. He is my fortress, that fastness, that stability. He is my God, the plural, the all I need God, the true God, the complete God. Thirdly, notice, there are consequences of sin's devastation. There is then that responsibility that I have to choose to dwell where God is, to make him my hiding place, to make him my safety, the source of my hope. But thirdly, God's promised protection in the midst of sin's devastation. Now we need to hear this. And I'm going to try not to take too long with it. But in verses 3 through 6, we read verbs like deliver, cover. And perhaps for our time, one of the most powerful statements is found in verse 4. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Whatever I need at the moment, that is what he will be to me. The shield is that broad protection that the warriors used, and they would hold it in one arm and fight with the other, and it would protect their body. But the buckler, and I always fancied myself as a buckler person, not a shield person. I think the shield would get in my way. I'd probably trip over it, kill myself. But that buckler was just that small shield. You'd fasten it on your arm and you could fend off the blows as they came. As they came to you, you could just fend them off no matter which direction they came. Enabled you to be more mobile. But God's both. You need a shield today. You need complete protection. He's the protection. You got some things flying at you, He'll be the buckler. We must realize that it's truth. It's truth that is that shield and buckler, not the lies, not fear, not the things that Satan would tell us, but it's the truth that is our defense against the onslaught, the traps, the diseases, the attacks, both by night and by day. Verses 7 through 13, we discover the power of God's protection. 1,000 or 10,000, it doesn't matter with God. You'll see God deal with the wicked because you have made God your refuge. You've made Him your abiding place. It's a serious, important decision that we have to willfully make, that we will trust Him to take care of us. What are we going to trust? Verses 9 through 13. Notice what it says. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. This is not a suggestion. This is not a possibility. It's a reality. And so what we need to understand, because there are people that would throw back at you, yeah, but what about those that get the coronavirus? What about those that die? What if it's me? This was the confidence that Christians had, and this is the confidence that Jesus Christ had. This is the passage that Satan used to tempt Christ in that time when he fasted and prayed before God. Satan came and said, God will give His angels to give charge over you. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And Christ said, that's foolishness. That's not faith. So we do what's wise. But we do not trust our wisdom to protect us. We trust our God to protect us. And if I or you get the coronavirus, we know that God has attending angels that He sends at His command to do His bidding on behalf of His people. And this is what Corrie ten Boom understood. She suffered horrendous things. You say, well, where was her God? In that moment, He was right there with her. And He used the experiences she had for years later to challenge and to break the hearts of people like you and me with our need to have a spirit of forgiveness toward those that treat us horrendously. God knows what He's doing, and that's all we're saying today. God knows what He's doing. And we use wisdom. And we don't jump off pinnacles of temples, but we put our confidence not in our ability to guard against some disease that we can't see, but rather we put our confidence in God, who says, I have angels that are tending to you. And if you get it, you'll know that it was my will for you. This is not a foolish, mindless declaration. It is absolutely where Christians must live. We drive wisely down the highway, but we cannot protect ourselves from every inevitable accident that could happen. And when those things happen, we know we have a God that was watching us, and He purposed that that trial was for us to go through. And we go through it with grace, and we go through it with confidence, and we go through it with faith, and we need to get a hold of this because this is real time, real stuff that we're dealing with right now, and it's really difficult. And it's possible we haven't seen anything yet. I'm simply saying to you, yes, be wise. You will have challenges in the future. You have a God that will walk with you, but this isn't the time to take a trip to Hawaii just because you can get there for $199. This is the time to be wise. But ultimately, we trust God. So look at what God's promise is, verses 14 through 16. God now speaks to us. God now takes up the narrative. God says, here's what I have to say to you. I'm not going to just trust my faithful psalmist to declare this to you. I'm not just going to trust my faithful servants to share this with you. I'm not going to just trust their testimony to declare this to you. I, God, want to speak to you, and I want to tell you what I'll do. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Because you have loved him, he says, I'll take care of you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. What does that mean? You've known me to be everything that my name declares I am. I'm faithful. I'm God. I'm most high. I'm almighty. I'm ever present. I'm peace. I'm comfort. I'm joy. everything that God is, you found out that that's exactly what he is. And you've put your confidence in his name and you've not been ashamed by it. Because you've trusted in his name, he will take care of you. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our invitation this morning is not to come forward. It's for people to just stand and cry out to God on behalf of this church, for the brethren, for ourselves, that we would trust God, that we would yield to him, that we would not be foolish, that we would not be unwise, that we would do everything that we can do to be careful, to protect ourselves and those that we love. But God wants us to seek his face. And I want to close the service with just a few saying, God, that's what we want. I want you to look at verses 14, 15, and 16 especially, but any of the verses in the psalm, and say, God, this is what I want. Father, would you meet with us as we talk to you? We need you. We need to know you as our God, and we need to know you by your names, faithful, true, righteous, redeemer. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Abba. Lord, you've promised your protection to those that will purpose to dwell where you dwell. You said you would shadow them in that circumstance through the night. Help us to yield ourselves to you for that. As we seek your face now, I pray in Christ's name.